This is Kara with Lisa Marie in Eau Claire, and it is the 12th of June, 2012. So first we'll just start off with, how are you involved with the Eau Claire campus and the Eau Claire community?
Well, I'm on the board of directors at the LGBT Community Center. I've been with them for about a year now, a little over a year. I'm also involved in Chippewa Valley Pride, so I help organize that, and I do various volunteer work with different events on campus. Last year we had the AIDS Memorial Quilt come here, so I helped with that, and we also did the Fireball, which was to benefit LGBTQ scholarships in the area, and that was a really fun event.
Cool. We want to talk more about what the Fireball was?
The Fireball, Misty Lovely, who you interviewed yesterday, was actually a big part of that, as well as Chris Jorgensen, he's the director of the, well, I don't know what you would call his position, but he basically runs the LGBT portion of the Wage Center, the previous Wage Center, which is the Women's and Gender Equity Center here on campus. And he helped organize that event for LGBTQ students going to school, and basically it was like drag performers, and people donated money at the door, and then they used that money for scholarships. So I don't know if you heard anything about that yesterday.
We heard a little bit, but you can elaborate more on what it looked like if you want.
It was amazing. They had like screens in the background. It was packed. It was just amazing to see that kind of event here on campus.
Was it surprising to see that here on campus?
I would say yeah. I mean, I don't know. A lot of our events here in Eau Claire tend to be kind of small. Mm-hmm. So just to see that kind of community like gathering was pretty intense and amazing.
How many people were here?
I wouldn't even be able to tell you, but it was down the council fire room in Davies, and that's a pretty big area, I would say.
That's fine if you don't know. I can't guess numbers either.
Probably hundreds.
Hundreds? Please. Wow. How would you describe like the LGBT community here on campus and in Eau Claire?
I don't know. I think a lot of it, I mean, we struggled with the community center just being able to put on events that aren't bar related. We actually ended up having financial problems starting last May and ended up having to close the physical space. I don't know if you heard anything about that from Dee, but it was kind of sad, but at the same time, we didn't really have a choice at that point. I mean, it wasn't really being utilized by members in the community. So it was just kind of like a space that wasn't being used, and, you know, money wasn't being managed properly, but yeah.
Do you want to speak more about just how the community center has been over the last few years?
Well, I'm fairly new, but from what I've heard from the people who have been there from the beginning, my friend Chris Iannone was one of the organizers of the community center, and he actually passed away last October, which was really sad because he was one of the few people here in Eau Claire who really held the community together. He was a big part of organizing Pride, but I don't know, it was just really sad that, you know, we lost that part of the community because, like I said, it's been really unstable from the beginning. So just like not knowing, I guess a lot of people didn't know how to fundraise, and so we would be getting grants from Diverse and Resilient down in Milwaukee. I don't know if you've heard of them at all. but they were basically our only source of funding just because there wasn't many events, you know, as far as fundraising. So that's kind of what we were, you know, existing on, and it wasn't a very stable foundation. So it's been like that from the beginning, and just like inner conflict, just people having different ideas on what they want to do with the center. And at this point where we still exist on paper, but it's not, I don't know, we're not really doing many events at this point. Right now the focus is Pride. Pride is scheduled for August this year, August 4th. So that's been our main focus recently. It's just to get that organized and ready to go.
You mentioned inter-conflict on ideas of where the community center should be going. Mm-hmm. If you feel comfortable, can you talk about maybe different perspectives that were shared?
Yeah, I guess basically some people were like, we gotta close it right now. I mean, let's reopen when we have the funding. And then other people were saying, let's get a small office and then build up slowly. Which I guess I was more on that side of it. I was afraid that if we closed, we would not be back. Mm-hmm. Which actually has been the case. I mean, we haven't reopened yet, and it's been a year later, and we had all of our stuff in storage, and we donated that, so it's like we don't really have much to our name at this point. So I guess it was just kind of, I feel like it's going to be hard to reopen now just because we didn't, you know, go to a smaller space right away to kind of keep that open. But
what do you see as the primary purpose of the community center?
Well, I guess for the mission statement that was first published was like, we were supposed to be hosting events to promote solidarity in the community, which I don't know how well we've lived up to that. I think that, you know, there hasn't really been, I haven't seen from the time that I started, I haven't really seen any like events under the center's name that they've sponsored. It's usually been like, okay, a couple people who are a part of the center kind of go off on their own and volunteer with other events that are more stable. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, you know, there hasn't been any real event sponsored by just the center since I've started. Mm-hmm. So
The mission statement you said was to promote solidarity. Mm-hmm. Do you think that solidarity is a correct adjective to describe the community in Eau Claire?
I feel like there's different, like, I feel like there's just different subgroups. Like, here on campus, we had a whole bunch of organizations that were kind of LGBT related. Like, Fair Wisconsin had a little chapter here. Let's see. There is like this one group called Spectrum. They changed their name like a whole bunch of times, but there's them, and then there was Forward Momentum, which was kind of a social action, more like not social group, but it was more like focused on doing like activist stuff. But then I guess like this year they joined all those organizations to try to bring them together, and it's called UW Eau Claire Pride now. So I thought that was pretty cool that they finally just like made it into one. But I don't know, it's just kind of always been like that little subgroup type thing here on campus at least, which I really noticed.
Can you speak more about what the three different organizations were and what they did?
So Spectrum, like I said, which has had a bunch of different names, was mainly known as like a social group, so for people who, mainly freshmen, would come in and they would, you know, get to know the community, and you know, it kind of served, I don't know, I don't know how to really say it, but it seems to me like it served as more of like a dating purpose, like, oh, getting to know other people, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like that. But there was no like real activist type stuff going on really. So then one of the girls that I knew from, I took a San Francisco travel seminar for one of my classes. So we met during there, but she started up a group called Forward Momentum. And it was more supposed to be like the social action type deal. And then Fair Wisconsin, you probably heard of that before. It's, you know, dealing with like activist stuff as well, just laws and stuff like that, dealing with the community, like domestic partnerships and stuff like that. So
what different activism has been on campus?
Not much. I don't know. I spent a year at UW Green Bay, mm-hmm. and it was a small group there, but that was when I was first, you know, starting to come out. I was a freshman in college and, you know, just getting to know the community. And I felt like even though it was a smaller group, we actually did more. But when I came to Eau Claire, I was just kind of like, I don't really see that, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Does that make sense? Okay.
What are differences you saw between Eau Claire and Green Bay in its activism?
I guess like, well, Green Bay is a smaller campus, but I just felt like the group was actually doing like weekly events or something. Like, even if it was just hanging out, I felt like it was somewhere for me to go. Like, just kind of like a supportive place for me to go where I didn't have to like not be able to be my, you know, where I could be myself. Mm-hmm. But then when I moved back here, because I'm originally from here, I moved back and I didn't really know how to get involved on campus. So I just kind of started getting involved in the wider community because I felt like that was just kind of easier to do, which has worked out fine. Mm-hmm. And then just did some volunteer type stuff, event to event here on campus, depending on what's going on.
And so the three organizations that were on campus all came together to make UW Eau Claire Pride?
Yeah, from what I understood, that's what happened this year, which was cool.
Do you know why they decided to do that?
You know, I don't really know the background on that, mm-hmm. but I heard about it actually fairly recently at Day of Silence. We had an event that went on, mm-hmm. and it was like, I don't know, they called it a concert, but there was like various performers and stuff like that. Chris Jorgensen has been really good with organizing events here on campus since he mm-hmm. started, but that's when I first heard about the joining of the different, you know, subgroups here.
Other than just organizations, do you think that the community here in Eau Claire is united, like along, like between gays and lesbians, or by like race, class, or gender?
You know, I don't know if it's very united. Like I said, I feel like there's just certain, like, groups, subgroups, you know, especially like, I feel like we need more events that aren't bar related because I feel like, you know, a lot of people go to the bar because they're not really sure what else to do. I mean, mm-hmm. that's how they mainly meet other people, mm-hmm. which is, you know, been a huge part of LGBT culture for a long time is, you know, bar culture and stuff like that. But it's just kind of hard because some people don't really want to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what can we offer them? Which I think Pride has been, like, Pride here is really small, but I don't know, I kind of like it. Last year was amazing. We had a lot of people show up. We did a drag show, which I think brought in a lot of people, but yeah.
Cool. Do you feel like the community here is racially diverse?
Racially diverse? I don't know. I mean, not really. Not really.
Why do you think that is?
I think just like the area. Like, I don't know. I mean, when you go into some bigger cities, I feel like it might be a little bit more. Like, Minneapolis isn't that far from here, so I feel like maybe there it's a little different, but as far as here, it's like a smaller community. Well, to me, it feels like a smaller community, even though, I mean, it's a decent size. Mm-hmm. 60-some thousand, yeah. But I don't know. I would say Minneapolis is probably more diverse than here.
Let's go back and talk more about the community center.
Mm-hmm.
What events did it partake in, or was it associated with?
You know, we, for a while, we did, and this was before I joined, for a while we did, like, game nights and, you know, we had, like, movie nights, and I think for a while we started bringing in, like, speakers, but I heard that they were really boring, so nobody really wanted to go to those. It was, like, how to manage your, I don't know, one of them was like how to manage your finances or something, or I don't know, it was just kind of just boring stuff. So, I mean, you can't really blame people for not wanting to go to that,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know, it was mainly like a spot for people to go to, and we had a library, and yeah, we ended up having to get rid of that as well, because there was just way too many books, so we just kind of donated them to different places in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that didn't really last. I mean, we had drop-in nights at the end. It was like Fridays, we had drop-in nights. Nobody would show up, which was a huge problem. I think, like, we just didn't know what to do. I mean, I wanted to be, like, well, we talked about being more of, like, a resource center where we actually, like, do services,
mm-hmm.
like, social services type deal, but then, I don't know, it's just, we don't have really any professionals on the board. It's mainly, like, volunteer. No one's paid. No one's, I mean, we're basically just donating our time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we have people with degrees and people with, you know, social work. Stuff like that, we couldn't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
It would take a lot of reorganization to be able to do like social service type work.
Mm-hmm. What has been different events put on the campus, like you alluded to the AIDS quilt,
mm-hmm.
and what others?
The AIDS quilt, also, like I said, the fireball, which was really cool to see LGBTQA students being able to get that money to go to school. And then Day of Silence is a really big event now. I mean, it was the second annual one, but it was voted as, I don't know what Chris said, it was like one of the best events on campus put on.
Mm.
Like a little concert type deal. And then what else? Like I said, I mainly did work outside of campus, you know, other than just volunteering for just, you know, separate little events going on. I mainly work outside campus here.
On what?
Well, I would say I was kind of busy because I did research work in the nursing department on LGBTQ healthcare needs and concerns with
mm-hmm.
Dr. Sheila Smith. I worked on that for like a couple years with her.
Mm-hmm.
so I was kind of occupied with that. And I also, like I said, donated time with the community center and Pride and stuff like that. So I had my hands full at that point.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk more about what your research was?
Basically what we did was we conducted focus groups at first. So we did like a lesbian group, transgender, gay men. We also did an HIV positive group at the AIDS Resource Center where I did my internship. Mm-hmm. We did, you know, just different focus groups and asked them, you know, how is your healthcare experiences, what could be improved upon, what worked out well. And basically Sheila wanted to work that into her teaching. So when she's training nursing students how to approach, you know, LGBT healthcare, what are the best practices. So we did that, and we basically transcribed, you know, every single focus group that we did. Mm-hmm. And went through identified themes, and after we presented at Student Research Day here on campus, and you know, just kind of like what themes did we find among different groups. And then after that, we did two other focus groups, which we didn't have very many people show up for that, but we basically wanted to ask them if we, you know, kind of captured, you know, what they were saying in those initial focus mm-hmm. groups. And then from there, we developed a survey to send out nationwide. Mm-hmm. You know, from those themes, we incorporated that into the survey, and we're just kind of sending it out to a couple people, getting more feedback to see, you know, if it's ready to be sent out mm-hmm. at this point. And your professor Simon mm-hmm. helped with that, gave us some feedback on that, so that was really cool.
What themes did you find?
And I guess in the lesbian group, which was mainly like my specialty, mm-hmm. which, because there was a couple other students that I worked with the first year, and we kind of split up and, you know, worked on whatever group that we got assigned by Sheila. So I got assigned the lesbian group, and a lot of what we found in that group was family issues. Just some of the people had, you know, adopted children of another partner, and just how to deal with that as far as healthcare, being able to be a part of that. Also, like some of them mentioned, you know, having to deal with extra paperwork that straight couples would not have to carry in order to be a part of each other's healthcare experiences. Mm-hmm. Visitation rights, hospital visitation rights, and stuff like that. So it was, family was a big theme in that group, it seemed, mm-hmm. compared to the others.
Any other themes?
Let's see. For the gay men's group, it seemed like they mainly talked about being, you know, wanting to be treated with the same respect as anybody else, like not having different healthcare needs, just, you know, wanting the respect of anybody else. That was kind of a theme for them. The trans group, we had like a lot of the transgender people describing like horrific experiences they've had. And then also with the HIV group, just people acting, you know, like acting differently around them, treating them as, you know, infectious or like breaching confidentiality. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of that in the trans group too. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the people were describing experiences from, you know, like a long time ago. But currently I feel like what we found was that a lot of the discrimination or whatever is more like not as overt. Mm-hmm. It's more like hidden, where people don't like make it as, you know, like I said, overt, but it's still there. Mm-hmm. I still feel like it's still there. And So I think it's really good that Sheila's going to start incorporating what we found in her teaching, because I think it's really important for students to know that, especially medical, because everybody needs to see a doctor at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So just understanding what the community needs.
Do you think that education here at UW-Eau Claire is inclusive to the community?
Well, for me, I'm in a pretty good field for that type of thing. Like, so I feel like sociology is pretty good as far as being aware of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like other fields aren't as, you know, open. I mean, there's definitely, even if people seem like, oh yeah, we're open to diverse students or whatever, they still have these heterosexist or heteronormative, I would say, assumptions about mm-hmm. students just coming in, like just assuming like everybody's straight or everybody, you know, stuff like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not overt, it's still, I feel like it's still there.
Is there a LGBTQ studies program here?
There, it just started. So we have a certificate,
mm-hmm.
Which I ended up getting. And like I said, like it was kind of developed after the San Francisco Travel Seminar that Pam Foreman and Ellen Mahaffey started. They were asked to teach a course called Lesbian Lives and Cultures here on campus, and they're like, you know, we want to go bigger than that. We want to do something that's a little different, you know, for this campus. So basically what we did, and I was part of the first group that went, and we went to San Francisco. We went to the Frameline Film Festival, which is one of the biggest LGBT film festivals in the nation. And from there, we did our own videos, like our own films. Mm-hmm. So we split up into groups and did that, as well as just critiquing the films that we saw at the film festival. And we also participated in Pride there. So it was a crazy week, like just doing our films, getting all of our footage, and then coming back here and actually putting it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in Eau Claire, like the fall, because it was in the summer, the following fall we put together what is now called the Eau Claire Film Festival. So now we have a film festival here for LGBT stuff, which is really amazing for this community, I would say.
Were you involved with the Eau Claire Film Festival?
For the first year, I did introduce one of the films that I wanted brought here, because we brought some of the films from Frameline here,
mm-hmm.
and I introduced one of them that I really wanted to come here. So that was kind of my role. I didn't really help organize it,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my part of it, I guess. I just wanted to make sure like there was some lesbian films here, mm-hmm. you know, and not just, you know, just make sure everybody's represented, not just, you know, like the gay men films or whatever. So that was one that I really wanted here.
Was it well attended, the film festival?
The first year, yes. The first year was very well attended, but then this past year they went again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I guess it wasn't attended very well. I wasn't able to attend. The second year, I did attend the first night, but then I had a family emergency I had to attend to, so I had to go out of town.
Mm-hmm.
But I did talk to Pam, and she said that they were a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But that first year, yeah, it was great. And then they also showed all of our student films there, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I read that there was some controversy around the
Uh-huh. Yep. There was a professor that basically, I don't know, talked to one of our students, because she was in charge of like asking some of the professors here to mention to their students that, oh, we have this film festival coming up, like, would you be able to promote this and let people know? And I guess the professor sent a pretty, like, mean email to the students saying, like, I don't support this, and, you know, I, even though I have, like, gay friends, like, I feel bad for them or something, like, they're wounded souls or something like that, and they're just trying to, like, I don't know. It was just, like, crazy stuff, and I did end up, I don't know if I saw the email. I think I did end up seeing the email at some point, but it was, like, wow. It was condescending is what it was. It was just kind of, like, I feel bad for you type deal. It was, like, oh, you poor thing. Like, you're, you know, like, wrapped up in this lifestyle, and, but it was just, like, wow. Like, you're a professor. You're, like, in a position of authority, and you're making a student feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy, and it made national news, so it was pretty bad. And I think that's probably why we got so much support the first year, because people were like, this is ridiculous, like, we gotta support this event.
Mm-hmm. What were the results of the professor saying those things? Was he reprimanded in any way?
Well, okay, like, I don't feel like he was, because he was obviously allowed to stay here
mm-hmm.
at the university and, you know, continue to work with students, which I feel like, what if an LGBT student took a class with him? Like, he would have assumptions about that student coming mm-hmm. into the class, and I feel like that's really not fair.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, all that occurred was we had this little session where people could come and, like, vent out their feelings about what happened and say, you know, like, this is how I feel about this incident and this is what I think needs to be done differently. It was just kind of like a little session like that. And he actually showed up at the event, and he, like, he made this, like, huge apology or whatever, and I felt kind of bad for him at that point, but then I was like, you kind of got yourself into this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I wasn't sure if I should attend, but then I felt like I should publicly make a statement, and I was just kind of like, oh, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that happened, but he was, yeah, obviously he's still here on campus because I've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up sending an email to him saying, like a personal email saying, I, you know, I was a part of this class that did this, and I really don't appreciate what happened. And he did respond, and he's like, I'm, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that I made you feel this way. And I don't know, I think he kind of had to respond to all these emails, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, he just felt that, you know, he was pressured to do that so he could keep his job.
Mm.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was basically, I guess he doesn't support the community for religious reasons, so I don't know. I just feel like if this was any type of other group that he's discriminating against, that he would be out.
Mm.
Like, if it were based on race or something, like, I felt like it wouldn't be put up with. Like, he would probably just have been fired.
Mm.
But just because it's, like, the LGBT community, I feel like, you know, I feel like it's seen as different, which is, it's not.
Mm. Does administration support activism of LGBTQ students here?
I think in general, yeah. I mean, we, like, it was just that one incident, like I said, it was pretty well received by other people, and I think, you know, even the chancellor, I think he, like, supported it or whatever. And other faculty supported it, and I think in general, yeah, but I don't know. There's always got to be those one or two people that do that, and I don't know, not mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It was just a big issue for a long time. Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah, rightfully so. Did administration support the Day of Silence here?
Yeah, I feel like I never heard any opposition. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's always room for them to stand more strongly mm-hmm. with those type of events, but I mean, I didn't feel like we weren't welcome, mm-hmm. but that's just me, I guess.
Do you want to describe more what the Day of Silence looked like?
Sure. Basically, so they set it up where there's like a stage in the front and, you know, just like little like rows of chairs or whatever, and they had like a screen with these different pictures of people like screaming, making noise or whatever. So mm-hmm. they had those on the screens on the side, and then they had like all these performers sign up, like there was an a cappella group that performed, a pretty well-known one on campus, and then there was another a cappella group, and then there was some, like a couple bands or whatever, local bands that performed. Then there was a professor here on campus that like read a segment of Gloria Steinem's book. So there was like a variety of different performances, which was nice. And different organizations went up and spoke and, you know, said a, you know, a little piece about why they support the Day of Silence, which was cool. And then the community center, we did end up sending a board member up to speak on our behalf. So it's just, I felt it went really well. Mm-hmm. It went really well.
And there was a national coming out day here as well, correct?
Oh yeah. I kind of had to operate two booths there. So like, cause at that point I was doing my internship for the AIDS Resource Center, and we had a booth at coming out day. And then I also did the LGBT center booth. So I just kind of sat them next to each other, and I was like, I'm both. Yeah, there's just different people set up, different organizations on campus and in the community. Mm-hmm. And people walked through and got information and all that kind of stuff. And then there was also like a huge rainbow flag, you know, on campus, mm-hmm. Draped over in that area. And there was like a little stage where people basically went up and told their coming out story. And there's like, you know, a microphone or whatever, and they just kind of told their experience with coming out, which was really cool, and just listening to those different stories.
Yeah. Was it a successful event?
I thought it was really nice. I mean, I didn't think it went badly.
And you said you were an intern at the AIDS Resource Center?
Yep.
Do you want to, what is the AIDS Resource Center and what does it do in the community?
So, basically what I was doing was I was a prevention specialist intern, so that was part of the service, one of the services that they provide there. For that position, it was more like outreach. Like, for one of the things I did, I worked with at-risk youth mm-hmm. At a day treatment facility. And conducted like little discussion groups with them weekly about like sexual health and HIV prevention and other STDs. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, kind of getting them to think about that kind of thing. And so it was like outreach stuff. And then also my supervisor and I went to like the jail and talked about HIV and hepatitis C. And, what else? I worked with IV drug users because we have a needle exchange program over there. So I did that. And then I also, I learned how to do pre-counseling before testing. Mm. And then also like post-testing counseling. So basically telling them like, how the procedure is going to go, you know, this is how it's going to go, and asking them questions about their history, their sexual history,
mm-hmm.
and just going through that list of questions and asking them what they know about HIV and basically making sure they're ready for testing at that point. Because if they're not, then we don't want to, like, you know, if they're going through a bad time, why they don't need to be getting an HIV test at that point, you know. So just making sure that they're ready for the test, and then afterwards going through their results and making sure that, you know, how to go about doing that. I didn't actually do any of it, but I did get trained in doing it. And then I also trained volunteers on how to do an online outreach program and like hookup sites. Mm-hmm. Where they go in and they give HIV information to people who are basically looking for hookups
mm-hmm.
in Wisconsin. So I go on those sites, basically say, those volunteers basically say, like, I'm here if you have any questions, and, like, every once in a while give some facts on HIV, and I'm here to talk to you privately if you'd like to. And I also had to train them on, like, you know, like suicide crisis
mm-hmm.
stuff that they might have to deal with. And
cool.
I got some really good experience there.
It sounds like there was a lot happening there. What is the AIDS Resource Center well supported by the greater Eau Claire community?
I feel like there's some stigma. Like, I know, like, there's been some, like, with the needle exchange program especially,
mm-hmm.
like, needle exchange programs in general are not very supported,
yeah.
just because, you know, it's like, oh, you're supporting, you know, drug use or whatever. But basically what we're trying to do is meet the people where they're at. Some people aren't ready
mm-hmm.
to, you know, stop their drug use. So why would we want them to be using, you know, unsafe materials, basically? I mean, that just puts them and other people that they're around in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just kind of meeting them where they're at that point, and then also offering them, you know, if you want to utilize our services, we're always here for you. And just kind of like making sure that they know that.
Yeah.
But we, you know, like, I feel like the police especially are kind of like hostile towards it, like sitting outside, you know, like I've seen like some police sitting outside our office before. It's like, you're not supposed to be doing that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to be confidential. And once they leave the building, like, and they have paraphernalia or whatever, like, they can get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I, you know, it's just not fair. I mean, they don't deserve that. I mean, to be watched while they're coming in and try to get clean materials and being responsible, like, that's just kind of crazy to me.
Yeah. What is the relationship between the police and the community here?
I feel like, you know, just seeing the police sitting outside the office there, I felt like, oh, well, it's not very cool. But I don't know, as far as the community in general, I don't think it's that bad, but obviously you see them around, like, the bar and stuff, like the gay bar
mm-hmm.
downtown sometimes, and I'm just kind of like, I'm sure they're waiting to, like, arrest people who are coming out of the bar, you know, like
mm-hmm.
drunk drivers or whatever. But I don't know if that's just that bar or if it's, like, bars in general, but I guess I'm just kind of suspicious about that. And, you know, just kind of like, maybe it's just me.
Has there been any incidents of harassment or hate crimes in the area?
Hate crimes? I'm sure there has been. I know there were some, like, highly publicized ones in Minneapolis. I don't know. But around here, I'm not really sure, to be honest. I mean, I've heard of some, like, well, my recent, ex-partner had some stuff go on in Stevens Point with a professor, but it wasn't really a hate crime. It was just more like discrimination.
Hmm.
But I don't know, like physical hate crime, probably not really.
Do you think Eau Claire is a tolerant community?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's always room for improvement. I don't feel like it's as hostile as maybe some other areas, but it's still not, like, perfect. It's not that great.
What's the difference, do you think, between Eau Claire and Minneapolis?
Because I've traveled quite a bit within the last couple of years, it's just interesting to see like the bigger areas like San Francisco, Minneapolis, Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Just people are just themselves and no one really like pays much attention to that. It's just kind of like, whatever, this person's doing their own thing. I don't know them, like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of like don't really care, but here it's kind of like, people notice those differences.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much on campus, but just in, like, in the community, you know, people notice, it seems, whereas, like, in a bigger city, you just kind of, like, blend in or whatever, and it's just kind of, like, no one really pays attention to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Do you imagine staying in Eau Claire longer, or are you trying to get out?
I don't know, my plans have kind of changed a little bit right now because I was with my partner for 3 years and we were going to be relocating to Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Where she worked. And basically it was a really small area, so I was kind of concerned about that. But I don't know, that was the plan for a long time. But then we ended up breaking up recently, and so I'm kind of staying in the area for a while, deciding where I want to go to grad school.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a part-time social work program here where I could go part-time and then also keep working. So I'm thinking about doing that, but I don't know if I want to move to a different area just because, well, I live with my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I really want to leave her alone at this point, but
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about what I want to do. I'm in a transition stage with just graduating.
Yeah. This is kind of switching lanes a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but can you describe Eau Claire Pride?
So it's, like I said, it's a smaller event. We don't have like a parade or anything like that. Basically what it is we just like, we do a little grill out. So it's like a little picnic type thing. And we have different organizations in the community have like booths, and some people like sell jewelry there or whatever. It's just kind of like people walk around and look at stuff and, you know, get resources. And so they have like booths set up in a little circle, and then there's the food, and then we also last year had a drag show, and that brought in a lot of people, so we're doing that again this year. And I'm kind of organizing the drag kings, and then my friend is organizing the drag queens. And we're bringing in some people like we did last year from Minneapolis, so, and they're really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Like who?
Let's see. We got some performers that regularly perform at the Townhouse. Have you heard of that bar at all? Well, it's one of the oldest gay bars in Minneapolis, in St. Paul. Technically, it's in St. Paul, but it's one of the oldest. So we have some performers coming from there. And then I also talked to one of my friends in Madison, because she's interested in getting back into drag again, so might have her come here for the perform. And then we have, of course, some local performers here that are gonna be involved again, I think, so that's gonna be cool.
Is there a large drag community here, or is drag prevalent in Eau Claire?
We have, like, almost every month we have a drag show at Scooters, which is the gay bar here.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's a cover charge, and sometimes that goes to some sort of, you know, donation where we make to some sort of cause or whatever. They've done that a couple times. After my friend Chris died, they gathered some money to donate towards the hospital that took care of him. Mm-hmm. So that benefited him, and, you know, people made pretty good donations towards that, which was really great. So it's, yeah, about every month we have that, and it's well attended every time. There's a drag show. It's hard to go to the bar because it's just packed. But, I don't know. It's cool.
Do straight people go to drag shows?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of straight people that go there. In general, like, you'll see straight people there, but it's usually open-minded, like, allies or whatever that go there.
And you mentioned there's drag kings here as well?
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk more about that?
I feel like they kind of get, like, the short end of the stick sometimes. I feel like some of the drag queens kind of take over some of the drag events. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, like, the reason why I'm organizing the Kings this year is because I'm afraid, like, if we don't incorporate them, it's gonna be mainly drag queens. So that's kind of like my concern. So that's why I'm kind of took over that task. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure that they get in and they're represented. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that can be a problem around here.
Do you think in, like, LGBTQ spaces, they're often male-dominated?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I don't know if that's just me or if it really is true, but you can definitely see that in the drag community, I feel, where it's just kind of like, it's all about the drag queens, you know, like, it's all about that, but, and then, you know, the women that do drag, I feel, get the short end.
Mm. What other events are there at Pride?
Like I said, it's really not much. People just come for the food, and usually we get, like, some beer donations or whatever, and we have that go on, and people just basically eat, drink, and go around and look at stuff and get information and come for the drag show. That's about it.
How long has Pride been here in the Chippewa Valley?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I know it's been going on for a while, but I think it's always been really small. Like, for a while, I heard it was just, like, a simple picnic. Like, that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. I heard that from someone who lived here a long time ago, that there was just basically a little picnic. Mm-hmm. But then, like, Chris, my friend who passed away, he hosted, like, boat rides where they would do, like, an ice cream boat ride type thing at his house. So that was, like, the second day of Pride, basically, where they did that boat ride thing. It was pretty cool. It was on the Chippewa River.
Cool. Why do you think there's no parade?
I don't, you know, I think it's just hard to organize in a smaller community, but also I feel like people would maybe be disturbed by that or, like, not really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. People in the gay community?
No, people, like, probably straight people.
Mm. That's fair. Let's see. Talking a little more about gay culture in the area, how would you define it here? What does gay culture look like in Eau Claire?
Small. I don't know, like I said, it's, I feel like we need more visibility. It's you know, there is a gay culture, there is an LGBT culture here, but I feel like we just need to make it a little bit more visible in the wider community, not just like on campus where it's kind of sheltered or whatever, but just like bring that out and bring it out into the community in a bigger way. But yeah, I would mainly say more visibility would definitely be necessary.
Why do you think it's not as visible?
I don't know. I think like some people still feel like, you know, they won't be well received. So it's kind of like, oh, we'll have our little culture, but just kind of keep it separate.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think it's, you know, it's 2012, like, let's progress a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's be a little bit more out there. And, like, even with Pride, I feel like it's kind of secluded. I mean, it's at Mount Simon, and that's kind of like, we're not, like, out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, okay, we're over here in our little corner.
Yeah.
In Carson Park, we did it there last year, and I still feel like that was kind of hidden. I mean, you have to know what's going on. It's not, like, right there in your face. It's more like, you know, if you know about it, come to this place and whatever, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with that, I feel like that's an example of it.
Has there been any protests to Pride in Eau Claire?
No, I don't feel like, just because, like, a lot of people don't even know about it. I mean, you almost have to be a part of it and, you know, be part of the community to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, we do some advertising in Volume 1, and we do some advertising like that, but... I feel like it's, you know, a lot of people just don't know that there's a Pride here. A lot of people don't even know we have a community center here. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was just surprised about that. Like, we did a community assessment survey for the community center
mm-hmm.
to see what do people want.
Mm-hmm.
And someone, like we said, you know, how do you feel about the community center in general or whatever, and someone was like, there's a community center. And I was like, wow, you know, we definitely got to get out there more because, I mean, people are not even knowing that we exist. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
What's the relationship between the media and the LGBTQ community?
Well, on the local news, Dee probably told you about that, but she's kind of... She does a lot of media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great spokesperson, I would say, for the community in general. And she had this little segment on the news where they had, like, a featured issue of LGBT stuff, like, a featured issue every night.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that for, like, a week. But she was involved in doing that, which was really, really nice.
Because
I hadn't seen that on, like... that level before in the news. So, I mean, I, you know, just with that, that was nice. And then, I don't know, with other types of media, not really. I mean, we did have a little article in the paper about the San Francisco Travel Seminar, and all of our pictures were on it or whatever, so. But other than that, I can't really think of. I mean, there's not a lot of media coverage
mm-hmm.
of events.
How was Dee received?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think... I mean, there wasn't a lot of opposition, I didn't feel, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, she would know more about that than I do, but... I didn't really hear of anything, like, major that happened. You know, kind of like, you know, the thing that happened with the old queer. It wasn't like that. It wasn't, like, a big issue or anything.
Mm. Okay. Is there any out musicians in the Eau Claire area?
I'm sure there are. I don't know why it's not coming to mind, but... I know one artist in the community or a couple artists that are LGBTQ, but I don't know if they're really out, like, as, you know, as LGBTQ. It's more like, oh yeah, that's a part of me, but, you know, this is my music or whatever. It's not really a big part, but, you know, I do know a couple.
What is the role of theater in the LGBTQ community?
Well, Dee is a big part of that. She, like, we did, like, or we had, I don't know what it was. It was, like, Hedwig. She did that. Like, she organized that, and I went to that. But I'm not really a big part of theater here. I don't really know much about it, so I couldn't really tell you, but I did end up attending that. And that was nice.
Cool. What do you think have been milestones in queer history?
Around here, I think opening of the center was a big deal way back in, like, 2000, I don't know if it was 2000 or 2001. I feel like that was a big thing back then. Right now, well, even for them to open at that point, it was more like a social thing, like, here's a place where you can go. But now I feel like we kind of got to step it up a little bit, and we're still working on that, so, you know, there hasn't been... I feel like there hasn't been much progress made lately. So it's really hard to say what are some big milestones here, because I feel like it's a work in progress at this point.
What are goals you have?
I'd like to see the community center open again. I'd like to see us be a resource center, kind of like the AIDS Resource Center, you know, they have that. I'd like to have something along those lines for the community to go to and just reopen that. Even if it's a small office to start off with, I mean, it still shows that we're there. Whereas now that we're closed, you know, who cares if it's on paper? No, you know, we're not doing anything, so why does that even matter?
What changes do you think need to happen in order for the community center to be vibrant here?
Well, I feel like the inner conflict really needs to end, because, you know, we're not really working together. I mean, if we could work together and, you know, have a common direction, that would help us a lot, but I feel like there's just way too much inner conflict, and that's been since the beginning, from what I understand. So, yeah, it's pretty bad, just with people just going back and forth and not being on the same page and just wanting different things. That's, I think, a big problem.
What do you think is fueling the inner conflict?
Huh?
What do you think is fueling the inner conflict?
Like I said before, just like the different subgroups, like people having different interests in mind, you know, like for lesbians and stuff, like just feeling excluded from the center and feeling like, oh, this is kind of a gay men's space, or not wanting to be in that space just because when you go in there, you don't see anybody, you know, with similar interests in mind or similar experiences as you, you kind of like tend to back off a little bit, because it's like, well, why should I be here if I'm not feeling that welcome?
Yeah.
So.
That's real. I'm wrapping up on questions I have. Is there anything while we were talking that, yeah, I'll get to that too, that came to mind?
You covered a lot. Really, yeah. Which is great. I don't know, nothing's actually popping up to me at this point off the top of my head. Is there anything else, or?
Maybe if we go through, because you talked about the division between, like, the different letters in the acronym, basically.
Yeah.
Is there visibility of transgender people in the community?
You know what? I'm really disappointed in that, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because I have transgender friends here in town, and I feel like, you know, when they talk to me and stuff, or they ask me for resources because I'm so involved in the community, I feel like there's not much for me to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I could say, like, there's a support group or whatever, but there's not. So, I mean, I feel like just with transgender, I feel like it's a little even behind, like, the gay and lesbian movement. I feel like it's still behind that, which really sucks. Even in San Fran when I went, like, they have a trans march, and they also have a march for lesbians, and the trans march was so much smaller. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you don't have to be trans to participate in that march.
Yeah.
You could just go to support the people in the community, but I felt like that was just really disappointing to me. Even in bigger cities, I feel like it's still that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just with, like, helping, I just try to be there for my trans friends, just because I feel like there's not much I can do as far as telling them, you know, like, support groups and whatnot. It's just, I feel like, kind of helpless in that aspect, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really bad, I think.
Do you think Eau Claire is a safe place for trans individuals?
No, I don't. I actually had one friend that was attacked outside the bar once, mm-hmm. just for, you know, just for the presentation of gender.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that she's trans, and it was just, like, too obvious for someone, I guess, and they decided to attack.
Mm-hmm.
But,
that's a shame.
Yeah.
So, is that common?
I don't know if it's common, but I feel like it's always, like, in the back of your mind. I mean, because things happen. I mean, even if it's not common, like, just the fact that it does happen is going to scare you.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I forgot to mention that when you were talking about, like, hate crimes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do remember one of my trans friends was attacked.
Mm-hmm. How was that handled by the police?
I don't think it was. I mean, I guess, mm-hmm. like, when you say what's the relationship between the police, I feel like not really that great.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of indifference, maybe, like, indifference, I would say.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
All right. Wow, it looks like we are drawing to an end then. This
okay.
was Kara with Lisa Marie, and thank you for sharing.